Relationships rule. That's my motto. I'm Janice Porter, and I love to share the power of relationship marketing to help grow and impact business. I've grown my business by building and nurturing relationships, and I'd like to help you do the same. Welcome to the Relationships Rule podcast, where connection means everything. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Relationships Rule. If you've ever said to yourself, hey, it's just easier to do it myself, then this episode is going to resonate with you. Because today I'm sitting down with Gina Kottner, founder and CEO of Athena Executive Services, a firm that pairs high-caliber U.S.-based virtual executive assistants with busy entrepreneurs and executives. Gina has built a thriving company that she now runs in about 10 hours a week. That's magic. And she's here to talk about something most of us skip right over when it comes to delegation. It's not just about handing over tasks. It's about building the kind of trust and connection that makes your whole team want to show up and deliver. This is a conversation about relationships, accountability, and what it really takes to lead well. So welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. I know, Gina, you founded Athena Executive Services 10 years ago, and now you run it in about 10 hours a week because, as we were talking before we went on air, you're too busy playing pickleball and golf. So why not, right?
That's right.
Have someone
That's
else right. Do it. I love it. So what made you realize that delegation was not just helpful, but essential?
Boy, you know, when I wasn't looking to be a founder of this business, I simply was an executive assistant for a CEO.
Ah, okay.
And that's where this all started. And, you know, one thing led to another, as often happens. And somebody said, hey, just find me somebody else like you. Right. Then there were two of us. And then there were three of us. And then I found other clients that needed this kind of service. And it grew and it grew and it grew. But if people didn't delegate, we didn't have a business. Right. If people are unwilling to delegate, or they don't delegate enough, or they're stingy in their delegation, it's very hard for us to be great, you know, to provide great executive assistant services. So that was kind of the heartbeat of it in the beginning. And then I started becoming a bit of an expert on delegation. And then more recently, just very fascinated by the whole world of accountability, which is a lot spicier, let's just say.
Okay, so we'll get into that, I think. So I know for me, and I did say this to you when we first spoke, I have a really hard time. I'm that person. It's just easier to do it myself because I'm not sure they can do it as well as I can, or there's a lack of communication, you know, with trying to explain stuff. It takes so long, whatever. I just have never quite made that leap, really. Okay, so, and I think there's a lot of people like me that tell themselves, well, maybe when I slow down a little bit, I can write down the processes and maybe I'll delegate it to someone, or I got to find that perfect person. But what's really going on for me and those people underneath that resistance? I'm sure you know.
Well, I don't know. I'll give you my theories. Definitely okay. My theories. I don't know where this particular phrase came from, but one phrase that I finally started adopting was better done than perfect.
Yes. Yes.
And once I started venturing out into delegating within my own business and experimenting, and I was where you guys are too in the beginning, like, I don't know if I can turn over invoicing. What if there's a mistake and now we have an upset client and then I just, you know, but I would have this thought like, okay, but what if this person even did it 80% great, mm-hmm. or they even got it 80% done while I was doing something else? Now, at the time, it wasn't pickleball and golf, right? It was working on the business.
Right.
But even that was very exciting. So, and I ran this business for a couple of years before I had my own EA, my own executive mm-hmm. assistant. Mm-hmm. And so once I got my own executive assistant, I was like, whoa, this really is a game changer. Holy cow. But I think what I started getting excited about was, okay, right now, I'm talking to Janice, but mm-hmm. my executive assistant is doing something else at the same moment. So I feel like there's two of me.
Yes.
So I started
he or she is doing something that you don't like to do, probably.
There's
Yeah.
that. That's
Yeah.
a whole other element
Okay.
called, oh, the things
Yeah.
you're not good at, the things
Yeah.
you resist, the things you keep kicking the can down the road, going, I'll get to that, I'll get to
Yeah.
that.
Yeah.
That
But
is
never get
also
done.
very thrilling to be like, so my EA's name is Corrine, so I may use her name and not
Sure.
be like, well, let's have Corrine do that. And then sometimes people say to me, oh, I don't even want to delegate that thing because that thing's so awful. Like, who would even want to do that? But lo and behold, you'd be amazed. Like, executive assistants are like, give me that, give me that,
Yes.
give me that. So, yeah, definitely the things you're not good at, but even the things you're great at, but you hate doing.
Yes.
If you don't have to do that, how much more energy you have at the end of the day?
Okay, so it's not on my notes here, but it makes me think of those who are, born to know how to do these things, those who say, give me this, I'll handle it. I know exactly what to do. Are those people, because I think we talked about this too, that I believe that people have innate gifts, and there is a gift. There is a gift that is that service, to be of service, that they can actually do it better or do it smarter, or they're going to say, hand it back to you, and you say, I never even thought to do it that way. That's amazing. So they take initiative. That's a skill that I don't see very often in support.
Yeah. And you want to, anybody who's listening to this who's shopping for support, you
Yeah.
want to vet that. You want to shop for that. And I would say, even the next level, I want critical thinkers. I want to be surrounded
Oh,
by people
really?
who will take initiative, and I want people to think. I need more thinking power, right? Or collaborate with AI, or, right? All the different ways of doing critical thinking and taking initiative. Yes, absolutely. You want to vet and screen for that. I mean, that's what we do, right? So as an agency, that's a big thing we're looking for before we bring somebody on our team as an executive assistant,
Yes.
before we hand them over to somebody, is what is your ability to be shoulder to shoulder with a leader or an executive? Because that takes a certain amount of confidence
Yes.
and like chutzpah to
Yes.
say, Janice, if you ask me to move that appointment one more time, we're going to have to talk. Let's just tell the
Yeah.
truth. You actually
Yeah.
don't want that appointment. You're actually not going to Pilates, or you're actually not
Yeah.
going to call the Johnsons, or, right? That's a little different than like overseas, quote unquote, VA support, what I would call. So when you have a real executive assistant, I don't know. For me, Corrine is like, I don't know. Sometimes she's like my boss. Sometimes she's like my mom. Sometimes she's just that other voice that goes,
Are
Gina,
you
here are
sure
your
you want to
three
do that?
options.
Yeah.
And she knows that I'll be like, well, let's go with the cheaper one. But she knows to be like, Gina, come on, buy that one. You're going to be happier. Yes, Corrine, that's right.
Okay, and those people are hard to come by, I believe, but maybe you don't think so because you've found so many.
Exactly. I mean, we have a whole process, obviously, of vetting and screening them. And frankly, with a lot of the layoffs and all the tech layoffs, the amount of high caliber applicants is insane. And the amount of people who want to work from home, right?
Yes,
They
there's
want to be
that
able to
too.
partner with a great executive, a great leader,
Yeah.
be at home, pick up the kids after school, and they're very, very smart. And so they are out there, but it's a matter of expect looking for that. If you look for that,
Well,
you will find them.
okay, but when you say that, are these people that you're talking about, are they people that have to take a step down to do that job because they've lost their job? Are they people that you wouldn't normally find in that work, group?
No, I wouldn't say so. I
Okay,
mean,
I'm
I'll
just
just
asking.
speak. I mean, just it's a great question though, because a lot of people are like, ah, I can't have this great job. I'll just go be somebody's executive assistant. On our firm, I mean, I will just say this is what these people love to do and what they're good at. So that's another great thing to, if people are out there shopping for somebody, is to look and see what, to your point, is this somebody's temporary job because they really want to become a marketing director, but they think this is their foot in the door, or is this person actually loves to be an executive assistant and they're really good at it?
I think I mentioned to you, and some of my listeners are local people that live here and would know this gentleman, Jimmy Pattison. He's like one of the, he's won the Order of Canada. He's been a businessman for, 70 years in this country and done, lots of different things. Actually, he just got some ink. His company just got some ink. He's like 90 something now, and I don't think he does a lot of day to day, but he's still pretty active. And he was just got some ink in the US recently because they were talking about one of his facilities being bought for an ICE detention center, but they stopped that as soon as that happened. But yeah, it was kind of funny. Anyway, not funny, but you know what I mean. But anyway, he had the same executive assistant his entire career. Maureen, her name was, and is. I don't know if she's still alive either, but because that was her calling. That was her calling. And when you get a good one, right? Okay, so you recently you made a shift from talking purely about delegation to talking about accountability. Can you speak to that? What prompted that and why does it matter so much?
Yeah, I used to talk a lot about delegation, and I'd even go and look and see what all's out there. So there's a million books and a million podcasts about how do you delegate effectively? Here are the 5 steps, here are the 10 steps, here are the 7 steps, whatever. And I just looked at like, okay, what had me as a human and some of the other high-performing humans that run my company, what had us be some people committed to high performance and excellence, and particularly like when nobody's watching. We've always been people that have always worked from home. We've never been down the hallway for years and years and years from somebody watching us. And I realized it's because of the different places we had been in our past where we had been held to account and for high performance. Now, I have been in places in my life where I was held to account for high performance and I did not like it. I did not enjoy it. It was not nice. Now it worked, but I'm not a fan of that. I'm like, well, I think we can have high performance people being held to account, which even the phrase sounds sort of gnarly. That's like kind of a gnarly, mean sort of sounding phrase. But we can expect people to do what they said they do. And we don't have to be jerks about it. We can actually have both, because a lot of people are like, well, I'm either going to be really nice with people or I got to get kind of tough with people and I got to really hold them to account. Like somebody said to me once, like, oh, you're a toughie. And I'm like, see, that's the thing. We give up holding people to account because we think, oh, now we're going to be tough. They're going to go home to their spouse and say, Janice threw me under the bus today, or I got called out in the meeting today. I don't know that you got called out. Somebody asked you why the thing didn't get done that was supposed to be done on time. This isn't like a personal attack, a personal affront. So I just kind of realized, boy, let's start delving into that because it's just a little more interesting. None of us really like, I don't think, love being held to account. And I don't know many people who love doing the holding to account. So I just started kind of breaking down, well, how could people do that in a way that's just simple? Like, why can't it just be talking about the weather? Like, what's the weather like where you are? Here's what the weather's like where I am. Hey, that thing was due yesterday. Is it done? Why
So
does it
tone.
have such weighty significance? So then I started breaking that down and we started talking about that.
And there's so much, I think, behind that with people too. It's like, they're in a role that they're too high up the pole, they can't handle it, and so they take it out on somebody else, the person below them, or they look for excuses, or they're uncomfortable, and it's never really just the thing. There's always time. And I would imagine, I don't know this for sure, but I know that you were involved for many years with the company called Landmark. And I never took the Landmark training, but I've taken similar personal development things. And I've been around a lot of people who have taken Landmark training. And I know that especially when you've been there as you were for many years and involved in the course, were you involved in the course development stuff? I just
There's
stopped
all
myself there.
kinds of
Yeah,
stuff
you
that
did
I
a
was
lot of different
involved
things.
in.
I know, that's right. But there's a whole level of understanding people and so forth that you have that a lot of people don't have. And I think that that probably gave you a real heads up when you're building your company as well.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree. And the woman who really runs the day-to-day operations in my company, her name's Dorian. She's been with me pretty much since day one. She had a similar background, and she's an incredible people developer. She's the director of people, and a lot of it is because of what you've said. You know, we got our own, I don't know, we got our own MBA, so to say, in the design of humans, like how are humans wired? And why are we so, you know, why is that, you know, being held to account such an affront, and talking about the weather isn't? I mean, you know, like, why are certain things so meaningful? So yes, we had a deep background in personal development, which completely helped. I mean, was a major factor, I think, in what got us off the ground.
Yeah, it has to be. I mean, I think so. When I'm doing training with my clients on LinkedIn, for example, and this happened to me this morning, actually, an example of this. So it's not as complicated as hiring somebody. It's like, okay, you got to meet new people and you're going to do it through LinkedIn. And so how are you going to do it? You know, there's different strategies that you can use, but they all actually come down to, you want to meet new people, or you want to re-engage with people you already know, and you want to find out what's going on in their life. You want to have a conversation. You want to bring it to the present. You want to see if you can be of service. All of these things that are all about getting you more business or moving you into their connection base and seeing if you can get introduced to someone that might, you know, all of that stuff. But it all comes down to conversation and knowing how to talk to people and knowing what kind of questions to ask. And I'm actually floored with how often people don't know how to do that. They don't know how to have a proper conversation. And this girl today was showing me a conversation in messaging, and it started off okay, and then I could tell that this person wasn't answering the question. She wasn't getting hooked into what this person wanted her to. And then she kind of gave up at the end because she said something like, "Okay, well, have a great day." But she didn't ask her, she ended it without realizing she was ending it because she didn't ask another question. You have to be curious. You have to keep things moving, but not so much for you, but to draw them in and to build some trust, which is what I think you were talking, what you were talking about too, or we should talk about with the trust factor. So yeah, it's fascinating to me how people don't see the relevance of communication being so key. So,
Yeah. And I
yeah.
mean, curiosity is such a key. And so that's sometimes what slows me down. Like, Gina, shh, slow your
I know.
roll, get curious, right? Because it's, I mean, I think another way of saying some of the things you were saying is like, I'm always looking at, okay, what's of interest and importance to this person? Because it's not me, and it's not my business, and it's not what my business is trying to sell. So what, but what is, like, I got to get curious. What's of interest or importance to this? But what are they dealing with? What are they, you know, and that requires asking questions. And I'm always trying to lead from asking. I know one person in my life who can literally have an entire conversation with me purely by asking questions. And it takes so much discipline and thought. Like, it's thoughtful, not thoughtful, like kind, but it is a thinking thought heavy conversation to actually have yourself keep asking questions and keep generating your own curiosity, because the brain is not really interested in that. The brain's like, it just wants simplicity, comfort, familiarity. Like, oh, we're not, this isn't going to go anywhere. Okay, have a good day. Bye-bye. It's not like, oh, well, let's go be a little vulnerable. Like, the brain has no interest in, like, let's be a little vulnerable. Let's go ask some questions. Let's go be curious about something we don't know.
Well, that brings me actually, I'm going to throw this in the middle of the conversation, which I don't normally do, but Do you think curiosity is innate or learned?
I think, well, at this point in my life, it's definitely learned. Now, I
Okay.
bet you I was not born that way. I bet you I was born, I bet you we're all born curious, right? I mean, you just think of like a toddler or an infant, you know, what's this and what's this and what's this and what's this? And everything is just fascinating. And don't make me leave and don't make me go somewhere else because everything right here is just fascinating. But then the older we get, and again, the brain is like just constantly wanting to keep us safe. Like, we're so like, no, I've got it all figured out. I know.
Well, yeah, and there's no right or wrong answer because I hear it from I hear that both sides, I hear it's both, I hear it all. But when I like when we got on the on this call today, I told you I was trying to come down from this boot camp that I'm taking around AI. And most people, some of my friends, I you know, if I mention it to somebody, they'll go, "Oh, I like that's too much." They don't want to know. They're not curious enough. They've got enough in their brains. They're past it, whatever. Just, you know, where are we going for dinner? And, you know, that's it. And I just, that's not who I am. I'm curious about everything. So I can't relate to that. I want them to, you know, to, I want to share it, but not with them because they're not interested. So I find it's just, it is very individual. And that whether you still have whether you have the gene or whether it's learned or whatever, right? So anyway, what does it add? Okay, so how would you describe what would it actually look like with a new, okay, we've decided we're going to I'm going to bring it on an executive assistant and I get you to help me find the right mix or the right fit for me because I guess that's what you what you're going to do. You're going to help me find the right fit. So, and we do. So, what's your advice to help build that relatedness with that person to make it work like both ways? Like, what's the advice that you tell your new client? You know, we'll try working with this person or let me know what you think or whatever. I don't know how you would do it, but.
Well, how we do it is we literally determine this is your person. So,
Okay.
yeah,
So a
that's
million
I don't.
questions been asked before that?
Yes. Oh,
Okay.
we have vetted and screened this person. We've vetted and screened you. And
Yes.
then we go and we make this partnership. So,
Okay.
and this partnership, if we've done our job, which we're like 95% great at, you will ride off into the sunset with this one
Pretty
human.
good. Okay.
Now, so what's, you know, what's your role as the executive or the leader or the boss? You know, again, if you've hired what I would call a high caliber EA, you could, would, should, in my book, be free to be however the heck you want to be. Now,
Okay. Be you.
you know,
Yeah, just
like
be you.
I just talked to a brand new client of ours. Now, it's partly because I'm a client of hers. She's a doctor and I'm like one of her. She's one of my doctors.
Yeah.
She just got a brand new EA from our crew today, this week, and I said to her, I said, Jessica, I'm just going to tell you some unsolicited advice. You should start throwing the house and the kitchen sink at Nathan. I said, Nathan can handle it. Just give way more than you think that guy can handle, because then you're going to find out what he's capable of.
Okay.
So that's one approach. Now, that
Yeah.
might just make people crazy, but that is to the degree that you can. If you think you're going to give somebody three things, give them six.
Yeah, because then they're left, well, I'm done. Now what do I do? And you've got to find things for them to do, and that's not the right way to go.
Yeah, it could be that, but it also could be that they can't actually do the six, but they do five.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay. Or you've one big project and you're trying to just give them all the little steps. Don't give them the little steps. I want to get, you know, I want to get from Vancouver to Calgary. Like, just give them the where we want to get to. This is the end game. I think one of the biggest things I would say in effective delegation is then make sure they know this project is now theirs. This is now yours. I now work for you. You don't work for me. Now I should be, I'm in the business of ensuring you win. I am on your side. I'll get you what you need, but I am in service of you winning. Now, a lot of times you've delegated something they have never done before. So I'll say to Corinne, Corinne, I know you've never done this before. How do I know? I've never done this before. But this is your baby now. I need you to drive me and tell me what you need. So step one for me is always, this is yours. And then I literally say, what do you need from me? Or what questions do you have for me? And the word what is so important because then somebody has to look in their head and go, well, what questions do I have? Do I have access to the software? How much is the budget? When do you need this thing done by? Blah, 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 blah. Now, you as the boss are in the position of just answering questions, which is so much more lovely and frankly relaxing than having to be the one that has thought through the 20-step process from how to get from here to Calgary. If I have to do that, I might as well do it myself. I figure I'm paying you to think. So, Corinne, this is the project. Okay, what do you need from me? And then I just sit back and I just answer questions. And I keep saying, what else do you need? What other questions do you have? What else? I just keep saying, what else? What else? What else? Until they go, nothing else. I say, okay, great. Now, why do I harp on the word what? Because a lot of times people will say things like, so anything else? Do you need anything? The word any really shuts things down in a conversation. Anything else about that?
You don't want to say there is something. Yeah, it
You
can.
no, I'm good. My people always go, no, I'm good. Okay, so we'll talk about that next Monday. Yeah? Yeah. Now you haven't caused anybody to do any thinking. And that's always my concern. Are you just yesing me, or is there thinking having gone on over there? So those are a couple of the keys I would say that I start with.
So I have a comment here, a question here that we've sort of talked around, but let's take it from this angle too. A lot of people worry that being warm and caring with their team, with their assistant, means that they can't also be direct or hold a high standard. So you did talk about this a little bit, but
Yeah.
you want to
Yeah.
reiterate?
I do. Well, one makes the other possible. So the more of a rich relationship I have, what I would call a background of relationship that I have with somebody, the longer that is, the more authentic that is, the more real that is, gives me way more platform or bandwidth to hold them to account. Why? Because they know what I'm dealing with is their performance, their actions. I'm not poking at them, the human. Them, the human, I love, I care about. Why? Because I've been demonstrating that for weeks or months or years. So my staff cannot, with any integrity, go back to their spouse and be like, Gina, just really, rah, rah, rah. She was, all of their husbands and wives and partners would be like, I doubt that. Now, I can be really straight and really firm with people about their performance, about their actions, about the things they did, not them. I always assert the human is fine. We're just dealing with the steps, the
Yeah,
projects.
that takes me like I have a 6-year-old granddaughter, and it's like looking at children again and saying, like, you're not a bad child. You did a bad thing, or you did something that wasn't, appropriate,
Yes.
but that doesn't mean you're a
Yes.
bad person. That's when they have to learn that back. But it's the same thing. The
It
other,
totally is the same thing.
yeah, the other thing that comes up for me is you keep saying this, and it's so funny because, again, back to this course that I'm taking, you keep calling these people the humans. And in this course I'm taking, she keeps saying the person leading it is saying that the humans, she keeps referring to the humans versus the AI employees that she's creating, and she's showing us how to create. It's mind-blowing. However, I want to know how that's fitting into your industry right now too. Because it's everywhere. So we have to, it's not like the elephant in the room. It's kind of out there, overtly. So it's got to affect your business, I would think. So has it yet, or how is it affecting your business?
Yeah, to be determined.
Okay, still, yeah.
It, you know, when everybody started getting calendar links,
Yes.
you know, everybody stopped the back and forth of the emails to schedule
Yes.
something, which their
Yes.
EAs used to do.
Yes.
And then there was this similar question, like, well, what will EAs do now?
Oh, yeah.
And the EAs were like, hallelujah. Like,
Yes, I'm not implying that it's going to do them out of a job, but it's going to change what they do.
oh, for sure.
Yeah.
But it's having us do that same thing, like, okay,
Yes.
what now do they do? Okay, so now obviously you would expect any strong EA to be utilizing AI. The quality of the work that I'm getting back now from my EA, I'm like, oh, mama, like you are brilliant. That's brilliant. And then, you know, I know what she's working with. So every now and then I'll be like, oh, give it this one other tweak. Let's just try this one other angle. Like I'm
Yeah.
now in the game with her
Yes. Yeah.
about it. So, yes. Now, and then there will be people who will, you know, they won't need us because they will, you know, they will put together an AI employee. Then there will be people, as there are with every technological change, who want nothing to do with it
Exactly. Yeah.
and will be like, no, who are still wondering why they don't have a secretary down the hallway.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
And
And then
so,
there'll be those EAs who glom onto it and those who don't. So there'll be different audiences for them as well, right? Yeah. I was just thinking there was some, I can't remember who it was now. I'm going to have to go back and look at it because I remember interviewing this person a couple of years, a few years ago, and what she used to work for this guy in California who put on these huge events at his house, like huge, and she organized them all. I can't even remember. Oh, I know. She was an EA person too. I'll have to tell you later. I'll find it because it was a good story and it was her that did it all. But yeah, it's just changed. It will change the game as to what people do and how efficient it can be for, you know, there'll be specific circumstances per person, right? That's the kind of thing. Okay, this is an interesting question. You work with executive assistants who are, as we both have said, wired to serve. How does understanding what someone is genuinely good at and energized by change the whole dynamic of the working relationship?
Yeah, you will discover their superpowers. And
Yeah.
it continues to kind of surprise me. A, their superpowers might be like, wow, you did that very differently than how I would do it. Sometimes it looks like that. But sometimes it's just simply in the early days, you know, again, social media is so different now than it was even 5 years ago, let alone 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, I quickly learned that my EA loved social media and I hated it. And
Yes.
that was back in the day when you had to go find the art and you had to find the pixel that had to be the right
Yeah.
size pixels and
Yeah.
it needed to be, you know, non-copyrighted art. And I would just be like,
Yes.
you have got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
She freaking loved it. So I, you know, it's so easy to give work to people when they love it, when they're excited about it. You know,
Yes.
when they're not excited about it, I just am simply empathetic. I'm like, and I always ask them, are you willing? I would say, are you here's what's wanted and
Okay.
needed. Are you willing to do this? Because I want to know. I just
Yeah.
did it today with somebody else on our team. I said, I have this kind of odd project. Are you willing to do this? Because I want them to own it or say they're not going to. It's not like I didn't survive without support staff all my life, right? That's what I always tell people. Like, we owners, founders, we were fine before everybody around us. It's not like we can't figure out what to do. We just would prefer you do it.
Right. So the okay, so then it comes down to the trust and the relationships that you have with your team that they are able to say, yeah, I don't know if that's something I want to take on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you, it's rare that anybody would say, you know, they'll often say no if they're like, I'm swamped.
Yeah.
Or I can get to it, but it's going to be 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Or, you know, that's not really my wheelhouse, but I'll give it a try. You can hear it, and sometimes I'm like, okay, that's good enough. And then other days I'm like, nah, let me not. No, I'll bring that back on my plate. I'll go find somebody else to do that, or
And the difference too is we're not all in the same office anymore, right? You're all
right.
over. Yeah. So that makes
Yeah.
a difference too, right? Okay. For someone listening right now who knows they need help but keep putting it off, what's the one thing that you would want them to walk away and do differently starting tomorrow?
Well, start delegating. Figure out something to delegate to somebody. And you really can start by just making a list, like, what are the rote things I do every week, or every time I do X? For you, it's like every time you interview somebody on a podcast, these 20 things have to happen.
I'm in that process. Yes, I like it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So just start writing down the things you do every week, and then look to see, where can I delegate that? Do you want a full-on executive assistant? You might not, you might not, you might want your niece to come over every Friday and check off three things off your to-do list. But great, that's three things you're not doing. And maybe all that buys you is 1 hour. Fine, but that's 1 hour that you're now
Bonus.
free to
Yeah, it's
do
bonus.
something else. So you just start, even if you go to Upwork or Fiverr or however, figure out how to delegate. And certainly some people listening probably need a little bit of training in saying no. That will also help, right? So when you're the person who's always getting asked to do everything, you could say no, or you could say yes, I'll help somebody do that, right? But just another way of unburdening yourself is to not burden yourself in the first place.
Yeah, that's good advice. So I think, are you in the process of writing a book?
I'm not, and I should be.
No, there's no shoulds. No shoulds. People say that to me too, and I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
It's fine. I did put into AI. I gave them every blog I've ever written, every newsletter I've ever written for 10 years, and said, give me the outline of my book. It was pretty darn good. It was pretty good.
Yeah, it's amazing, right? Did you also, just out of curiosity, could you say, or would you ever say, I'd love to write in the same style as so and so or so and so, and then get it from that perspective? If you ever, sometimes, it just, it's fascinating to see how much it can do. But yeah, no, I've never wanted to write a book. I've been in a couple of compilation books, but I'd rather talk on a podcast actually than write a book. But yeah, there's no shoulds, Gina, no shoulds. So, last couple of just quick fires, and then we're going to wrap it up. How do you like to get your information these days? Do you read hardcover books still? Do you read on a Kindle? Do you do videos? Do you do audiobooks? What do you do? You play golf, I know.
Yeah, I know. I play golf. No, truthfully, they're just, this might just sound so old school, but there just are some newsletters I really like, and I never get to read them all. There's some people's Substacks that I like, and of course, I don't nearly get to read nearly as many as I would like. But when I'm kind of just waking up in the morning, I usually absorb a couple good high quality newsletters.
That's perfect. I love it. Because people are doing that a lot these days, since there's so many of them out there, right? I asked you my curiosity question, and what's the one thing that you see changing for you? I don't know, in the next couple of years. Less than 10 hours a week, or opening up a new category of something, or
I tell you, every 6 months I have a different answer to that question. Where are we in 2 years? And part of me says, you know what? It ain't broken. Let's not fix it, right? I think, oh, I've got to, because I've just been such an achiever for so many years that it's like, well, now what? And it's like, well, but wait, this was my dream. Like, my dream came true.
Yeah, you're living by the ocean. You're doing what you want to do. It's amazing.
Exactly. And we're so quick to be like, well, so now what? And I was like, well, maybe you should just like live your dream for a little while.
Yeah, that's
And
perfect.
then we'll see. I got another 50 years to go, so
There you go. Yeah,
to
it's
be
fantastic.
determined.
Well, this has been amazing. Thank you so much. I loved talking with you. And it kind of reminds us Speaking to my listeners and viewers now, it reminds us that the way we treat the people around us at work, it's not separate from our results. It's the reason for them. So when we slow down long enough to invest in real connection, delegation stops feeling like a risk and starts feeling like relief. And I have to internalize that a little bit more, but I get it. I think it's the way I want to go. So if you want to learn more about Gina and the work that she does at Athena Executive Services, I will put the links in the show notes below. Is there anything specific that you would want Gina like to point them to or
On our website, you'll see something if you want to talk with somebody, chat with somebody for 15, 20 minutes about your specific situation. You'll see buttons on the website to get to that. And then if you want to find me, I'm really easily findable out on LinkedIn and I respond to everything.
Perfect. If this episode spoke to you, I would love it if you would share it with someone in your world who needs to hear it. And so until next time, remember, it really is all about relationships. Thank you again, Gina.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. If today's show inspired you to make a new connection, why not start with me? Head over to LinkedIn and connect with me. Be sure to let me know you are a podcast listener because I select one listener each month who connects with me on LinkedIn for a complimentary profile audit. And you know I love to meet new people, so I hope you take me up on it. Don't forget to stay connected and be remembered.